Welcome to another message from the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the history of God's churches, God's missionaries, in the time of the apostles. We're in verse number 31 in the 20th chapter. We've had quite a dissertation here by Paul as he goes from church to church, and he's speaking to the Ephesian brethren. Paul is a hero to many people. And sometimes we are heroes in our neighborhood and in many, many ways. And when you're a hero, you have a great responsibility to those that follow you. And all of the whole world should follow their heroes as they follow Christ. We know of the tears of Paul. We know of the tears of Jesus. I think one of the hardest times in Jesus' life, I know it says that Jesus wept when he found out that Lazarus died. I know that he wept great tears in the Garden of Gethsemane when our sins were placed upon his shoulders. The great weight. If you've been saved out there, you understand the lifting of the weight off of your soldiers' shoulders when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your sins and save you from your sins and to save your soul and forgive you of your sins. You know that great relief that you received at that moment. Paul wept great tears as he dealt with these people here. He knew what was coming upon them or what was going to happen to them. Among their own group, there would be heretics arise, and the heretics would lead them astray. We're plagued in the world by heretics and heresies today. In Christendom, Islam, Catholicism, Jehovah Witnessism or Russellism, Seventh-day Adventism, even in the charismatic movement, we see a lot of heresy. And in America today, we see a lot of heresy. In our country was founded upon certain democratic principles of freedom. And I'm also speaking about the different presidents of America and what they contributed and what they, the good things they did and the bad things they did. Today, we have an America that is un-American, and it is the most racial, godless generation that has ever lived in over 200 years. The most racial, godless, radical generation that has lived in over 200 years. And in Paul's time, there was a lot of what we call anti-Christian activity. In the world today, we see that in the Islamic world, in a communist world. You see, the Apostle Paul, one of the horrible things about his life is he was a great religious leader, but he was walking and following heresy. And when he woke up and when God's light shone in his heart, then all of those people that had looked upon him as a hero before now looked upon him as a villain, as coming right out of the gates of hell. Paul shed tears for them. They broke his heart. They killed him. They lied about him. They followed him around. They chased him like a wolf. or hyenas or coyotes on their trail. Now, Paul is shedding tears right now. He's not only being persecuted by those he once loved, but now in the churches, divisions will arise that shall divide brother against brother. If we all believed in the same Bible and believed that the Bible was inspired of God, and if we studied it, and let it speak to us instead of trying to make it say what we want it to say, we'd all be on the same page. Now, Paul says here, and I will read this from Greek, and we'll go back and translate it, and then we'll look at it from the Amplified Bible. Verse number 31. Dio gregorete, men mo nuontes, hote tretian, nikta kai hamera uk, ita salmen, meta dakron, nutheton, hina escato. He said, wherefore, that little word dio there, that means wherefore, on which account. It's like a little conjunction, but it has an explanation with it also. It says, because of this, stay awake. That's what the word means, stay awake. Gregorete, the word Gregory comes from this word, and it means stay awatch. Stay on top of the watchtower, looking always. Stay awake. And also, that was a military term. And when somebody was on watch, they had to stay awake. If they fell asleep in the Roman government, it would cost them their lives and maybe be crucified. It would cost them everything. Now, remember all these things is what Paul's saying here. Bring all the gravity of these words to this message right here. Then he has the word here, remembering always. That's a metamionotos, taste, that is. And it's nominative plural masculine, present participle acting. And that means to do it all the time. Because, and I want you to understand, that three nights and 3 days I did not cease with tears. Dakron, tears, many tears, flowing tears. Nutheton. That word there, it means to counsel and admonish with the word of God, to bring somebody to repentance and to truth. Nutheton. Nuthetic counseling. Each and every one. Every one at a time. Paul said, I have accomplished my duty among them and among you. You are to be forewarned and forearmed. One great man said, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Prepare. What do you do to prepare? Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we have every subject in the New Testament that we might need to combat what we have in the world today. John's writings, Paul's writings in Colossians and Ephesians, telling us that Jesus is God. He is God the Son. That Paul, John's writing especially telling us that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament, and that wipes away clean all of the Jehovah Witness baloney and the Mormonism. And Paul writes to the Colossians and the Galatians and the Ephesians and tells them to don't practice what they had been practicing in Judaism. That it led to Jesus Christ. Don't major upon the feasts and the festivals, etc. They were only a school guide. You were only in kindergarten showing you Jesus was to come. We have everything in the New Testament to combat all of these errors. You might have to learn a little Greek and Hebrew. You see, the only reason why preachers don't do that today is the big L. The big L is lazy. I've heard many preachers and political groups in Christendom, King James only. Don't study the Bible in Greek. It'll only confuse you. No, it will not. It will lead you straight to the truth. It'll tell you who Jesus is. In Greek, every noun and participle has number, gender, and case. You will know that Jesus Christ is God the Son. You'll know all the differences of opinion that we have. It will straighten those differences of opinion out. It'll inoculate you and vaccinate you against error. But it takes work. Now, I have people studying with me all over the world. This book here is the last book in the New Testament that I haven't done from Greek. You can be a great theologian and still not be a Christian, so-called. Really. You have to believe what you're teaching. You have to know it to be true. That's why I've taught the doctrines of the Bible and I teach church history, etc. I try to let you know what you believe and then stand on it with the Word of God. And Paul is trying to inoculate, vaccinate these people against error and this Wuhan plague that we have, the China plague that we have all through America that possibly was even developed to do what it has done in the world, to break the world financially and economically. It's terrible what has happened here. But we're trying to make herd immunity. We're trying to get everybody vaccinated that we can get vaccinated. Paul is trying to get everybody vaccinated that they can get vaccinated right here. Kaitanin, paratithame, himos, to you, kai to logo, tes, karitos, auto, to, dinamino, oikodemese, kai, dine, tain, kleronomion, en tois, higeas, menois, pasin. Paul says here, and now, I commend you for myself. That's middle voice there, parathi, to me. I place this command in your lap. That's exactly, it's para and tithemi. Two words. I place this command now in your lap. I am giving you the ability to meet your coming foes. We live in an upside down world where right is wrong and wrong is right, etc., etc., etc. today. But I'm going to tell you what, God has not changed his mind. He has not changed his mind about what right and wrong is, even though the people in this country are making right wrong and wrong right. Several lawmakers said recently that they were never going to vote for a white person to occupy any seat. That is racist. Racist. You can have black colleges, but you can't have white colleges. And look at me. I am not white. Somebody might mistake me for white, but I'm 1/32nd Anglo-Saxon. That's all. The rest of it's Indian. I'm even part a little bit black. Japanese, Asian, even Arabic, Arabian. Well, that's racist. America had a civil war over race issues one time. And I don't think it was quite as racially divided then as it is now. Paul says, I place this command in your lap. And Paul said, there's no difference between a dog, a Gentile dog, and a Hebrew saint, so to speak. We see people flaunting their blackness, flaunting this and flaunting that. I have spoken up for my people's background in America because they needed defending. But I tell you what, I'm number one an American, I'm number two an Indian. We have to stand as a people, not racially, but as a unit, as Paul said here, I want you to stand. I'm going to place this command right in your lap. And I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying because it will save your life and eternal souls. Homosexuality is a sin. Transgender baloney is a sin. All of these things are sins. Robbing, stealing, looting. Anarchy is a sin. And yet, you're telling the rest of America that you are wrong and we are right. Now, I believe that everybody in America ought to be treated equally. I believe that. But we're not talking about equality anymore. We're talking about equity. Equity is a communist term. It's a communist term. It's not a socialist term. Don't be so afraid of socialism as communism. Communism tells you what you can believe. Communism tells you there's only one way to believe. There's only one way to eat. There's only one way to dress. There's only one way to sleep. There's only one way. And anything else is punishable. The Apostle Paul was punished daily for what he believed. Daily. And he told us that there's going to be a great man going to come one of these days, a great man, the man of sin coming. He said that in Thessalonians. Peter said it in his writings. John said it in his writings. For now I commend you all to God and to the word of grace belonging to Him and the one being able to build up and to give you an inheritance, kleronomion. That word kleros, that's a lot, and nomion means law. And that means an inheritance by right and law, a lawful inheritance. In the ones having been sanctified, and all the ones having been sanctified. Look at that word sanctified, hagiazo. That's the word there. And when you look at it in all reality, we're born into this world. When we're born into this world, we're born of an earthly mother and earthly father. When we're born again, we're born from above. Everything that we have in us and making us, motivating us towards sin, we get from my Father. Everything motivating us away from that is from God. The word hagios means not of earth. And it means having been made not of earth now, not following the way of the land, the way even of the law of the land today. Verse number 33. Aguriu, e kurosu, e hematismo udenos epithymeso. Silver nor gold nor clothing. Now, at this period of time in the history of the world, The person's clothing told you who he was and what station of life he was in. It told you who he was and what station of life he was in. He said, now silver or gold, nor clothing. Moreover, not one of these things that I coveted nor held on my mind as anything of value. Silver or gold or clothing. This word hamastismo there, that means gold inlaid, gold therads, so to speak. Silver, clothing. None of this that I even considered to be of any value at all. Verse number 34 says, Autoi genoskete, hote, tais, kerios, mu, kai, tois, usin, meth, emoi, hipere, tason, he, keros, apte. He said, look at my hands. Look at my hands. Look at me. The Apostle Paul was painted with scars. His body was painted with scars. You could tell that he had been beaten. He had the scars of beating. He had the scars of being stoned. And not only that, he said, look at my hands. I have worked for everything I have. Many people are born into this world with a silver spoon in their mouth. And many times they don't amount to anything, do they? Many people are born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They don't amount to anything. Look at many of the president's children. Even present tense. Look at their wasted lives. James and Dolly Madison did everything that he could do for a boy that it was his wife's child by his first marriage. Payne is his name. Everything that boy did, he went the wrong direction. President Madison sent him to Russia, he sent him to Europe, he sent him all over the place trying to get him to do something, but all he did was go gather up bad habits. Gambling and whoring around. That's all he knew how to do. That's all he wanted to do. All that those two people had gathered in their lives, that boy wasted and threw away. They bailed him out over and over and over again. Maybe he was too honest to go to China and get millions of dollars to betray his nation or to Russia. But we see this. Dolly Madison was almost out on the street when she died of bailing this boy out. We see it in the movie industry. We see it in wealthy people all over. They hope that when their children grow up, they will have something, some sort of ambition, some sort of conscience to go the right way. And I mean, you can raise your children in church all of your life, but when they're out in the world, the tentacles of Satan can grab them. The Biden family were crooked from the time they were hatched, nearly. And the boys took after daddy. You go back and look at that for your own self. I mean, the media protects him no matter what he does or what he has done. But the skeletons are there. Now, how would you expect the boy to do anything different than daddy did? How did they get to become millionaires? It wasn't by honest hard work with their hands like Paul said I did. It was by lying and cheating. That's how they got it. And graft. Paul said, you know that the needs, that my needs, and those being with me, and then he uses the word here as a military term, hypo erates. That means to be an under rower. That means to have many people over you. A servant. A minister. A latrine officer, so to speak. One that takes care of the bathroom needs. In the army, when a person did something wrong, they had him go clean the latrines. The bathtubs. The sinks. The urinals. The toilets. He said, I served as a menial servant with these here hands. It wouldn't hurt a lot of those people up in Washington to get blisters. It wouldn't hurt them to work a day. It wouldn't hurt them to feel what it is to sit in the sun without a shade, not set, but working hard, working hard, working hard, digging a ditch. Getting underneath a tractor or a car and working and getting grease all over you. Get out there in the fields and work like I did when I was learning how to walk in the cotton fields, picking cotton. And then Paul says, Panta epidexa himen hoti hitos kopiontes de ante lam boneste ton astanon ton menu theon te ton logon tu kirio esu hoti autos epen makarion esten malon dinonai a lambane. All these things I pointed out to you all. He said he had must have been from Oklahoma, I guess. Oklahoma, part of Palestine. Over there in that Oaky part. You all. That, in this very manner, laboring, it is bindingly necessary to receive what we might call to against receive, literally, food. You work for your food. I guarantee you one thing. You give your children everything they want all their life, and they'll never know what it means to go out and work and earn anything. People have to learn to work. I'm teaching about four or five different series right now. I always weight myself down real good. And it takes a lot of study to do all of this. I study up right to the minute that I get up into the pulpit. That's work, people. You look up here, and you see all that writing, all the whole New Testament written in Greek, and then all of that. How many words have I written in my life, Marilyn?
I say a jillion.
A jillion. My hands are just worn out. I shake so bad anymore, I can hardly write. Now I have vertigo. Also on top of all of that. But I do it anyway. I remember when I was translating the book of Genesis, I was working really hard to get it all written down and everything, and my right hand swelled up so bad from carpal tunnel that I couldn't use my right hand anymore, and I started writing left hand, and my left hand swelled up, and I had to go to the doctor like this. You've been writing too much. Quit writing. I didn't want to quit writing. I was feeding my children. We do this. We push ourselves beyond human limits for our children, and we push ourselves beyond our limits for the Lord. I hope you have. All these things I pointed out to you, that in this very manner, laboring, it is binding necessary to eat, to live. And the ones ailing, to remember, those that are ailing, take your food and share it with those that are ailing. Share your time with those that are ailing. Take care of them. Wash their wounds. Give them medicine. Take time with them. Make yourself accessible to those that need you. And these are the words of the Lord. Now, Paul the Apostle, he is quoting one of what we call of the sayings of Jesus. The sayings of Jesus. It's not quoted in the Bible, but he heard it from the mouth of Jesus. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said, blessed is he rather to give than to receive. One of the oral teachings of Jesus. Now, he did this in Matthew 5 through 7. We know, we talked about it, but this one actually wasn't in there. This is one of the oral traditions that was handed down to Paul. Kai tauta ependes, ta gonata, auto, sin pausin, autois, prose stato. And these things having said, he placed his knees down on the ground. That's what it means. Together with all of them, and he prayed from the depths of his soul. Third person singular, first there is indicative middle voice. He prays from the depths of his soul. Verse number 37 now, and we're going to go back and read this when we get to the end here. Up to chapter 21. Hikanos de kla themos. Egenito panton kai epipesontes epiton proxylon tu paulon kata philon auto. Now, what's in a kiss? I did a message on that one time. We're going to find out what's in a kiss in this verse right here. And there was considerable weeping. Considerable weeping came about for itself. Again, a toe there. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative, middle voice. All of them, having fallen down upon the neck of Paul, and they kept on fervently and affectionately kissing him. A kiss is a statement of surrender. I remember so many years ago when Ronald Reagan went to Europa and to Russia. In France over there. And every time they met him, they wanted to kiss him in the mouth. These leaders did. And he just didn't know what to do. What they meant is they're surrendering themselves right there at that moment to you. When you kiss somebody like that. This is what happened right here. They're kissing Paul. They're saying, Paul, we love you. We're going to surrender our lives to this extent. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, the Bible says. Odunomenoe malista. Epi to logo ho ereke hote ukete melusen to prosopon auto theoren pro epempton pempon de auton eis to po or ployon. and suffering most upon the words of them, or the word of them that he had spoken, that no longer they're going to see his face. They will no longer see his face. They will never see his face again. I always, you know, ever since my grandmother was killed like that, she lived for 1 week after she was run over by a drunk driver, crushed and dying in the hospital. I only got to see her one time. That was my only hope in this world. The only woman that had ever loved me. My mother rejected me. My father signed a piece of paper giving me, my mother and father signed a piece of paper giving me my custody to my grandmother. You saw that paper, Marilyn. The one that I loved and loved me in this world that I knew I could trust in every way was dead. Killed, taken out suddenly. Oh, how I wanted to hear her words one more time. My stepdad had raised me, Dale Otto Remling, even though he was an outlaw, he taught me so much. I want to talk to him sometime, and I can't. We have the internet. We have cell phones today. They did not have it back then. All they could do was a printed page. Paul could write letters to these people. That was all. And Paul, in his words here that Luke copied down verbatim, says that I'll never see your face again. And they all wept because they loved each other. The world may hate them, but they loved one another. Oh, how I wish that I could feel the touch and hear the voice of my grandmother today. One more time. And as I have gone and left, sometimes you are having a conflict with people. And you don't want that conflict to be the last time you saw them. You don't. Your child, your mother, your father, whoever, your brother, your sister, you don't want that to be the last thing they remember. Always live every day like this is the last day that you have on the earth. And try to do what is right that day. I woke up the other morning, a couple of weeks ago, and I couldn't stand up. The whole room was spinning with this vertigo and everything else. I didn't know whether that might be the last day that I was ever going to be alive. I didn't know what was wrong with me. Didn't know whether I was having a stroke or what was happening to me. It's the crystals in my ear canals, I guess. I was in there cooking Marilyn's breakfast the other morning, and my left eye, the whole, like a half moon there, it just went glittering all over the place. And I have this vertigo also. Boy! I just tell the Lord, Lord, forgive me for all the ways I failed you in my life. And help me be able to look at you and say, hello, Father. Without shame. And the words which he has spoken, that no longer they're about to see his face, they'll never behold his face again. And they kept on escorting him, following him along. It comes from pros and pento. It means to send away. They sent him away with all their love and their tears wet on his neck and on his clothing dampness with the love of their hearts. Let's go back and read these last 10 verses. Or 8. Go all the way back to verse number 25. And now observe, I perceive that all of you, among you, I have gone in and out proclaiming the kingdom, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify and protest to you on this our parting day that I am clean and innocent and not responsible for the blood of any of you. For never I shrank or kept back or fell short from declaring to you all the whole purpose and plan and counsel of God. Take care and be on your guard for yourselves and for the whole flock over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you bishops and guardians, to shepherd the church, that is, to tend and feed and guide and guard and protect the church of the Lord God, which He obtained for Himself, buying it and saving it for Himself with His own blood. For I know that I'm gone, that after I'm gone, ferocious wolves will get in among you, not sparing the flock. Even from among your own selves, men will come to the front who, by saying perverse, distorted, and corrupt things, will endeavor to draw away the disciples after them to their own party. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson did not want political parties ever to exist in the nation of America. He said it will divide this country, it will destroy our country, and what has it done? Racist, hate. All we see is hate. People don't want to work together. They want it their way or no way. Communism. Communism. One way of thinking. I remember when the man took over this country. He said, all of you people that believe different than me, you need to be retrained and re-educated. My way or no way. Therefore, be always alert and on your guard, being mindful that for 3 years I never stopped night or days seriously to admonish and advise and exhort you one by one with tears. And now, brethren, I commit you to God. That is, I deposit you in His charge, entrusting you to His protection and care. And I commend you to the word of His grace and to the commands and the counsels and promises of His unmerited favor. He is able to build you up and to give you and your rightful inheritance among all of God's people set apart, those consecrated, purified, and transformed souls. I coveted no man's silver or gold or costly garments. You yourselves know personally that these hands ministered to my own needs. I made my own living. And I should have caused you to give to the purpose of the Lord. And Paul apologized to different churches, didn't he? Because he didn't. He said, I cheated you out of what? A blessing by giving. Paul said, I work with my own hands, feeding myself, giving myself the needs that the things that I need to sustain my life and those who were with me. And everything I have pointed out to you by example, that by working diligently, thus we ought to assist the weak, being mindful of the words of the Lord Jesus, who He Himself said, it is more blessed, makes one more happier and more to be envied to give and to receive. Having spoken all these things, He knelt down with them, and they all prayed. And they all prayed from the bottom of their hearts. That's the middle voice there. And they all wept bitterly and freely. And they threw their arms around Paul's neck and they kissed him fervently and kept on kissing him and kept on kissing him repeatedly. Paul wore away from there their tears. Where his neck, his hair, his clothing was soaked with their love and their tears. Paul worked hard for the Lord, didn't he? We all should do that. We all should lay aside a lot of the things, the cares of the world, and think about what God wants us to do. Maybe you're the only Paul that your whole neighborhood will ever know. The only hero, Christian hero, they'll ever have. That's your job. Sometimes being a hero. Sometimes being an example. Paul said, I was your example. Being especially distressed and sorrowful because he had stated that they were about to see his face no more. They accompanied him every step of the way to the ship that he was going to get upon. These words I commend unto you all over the world, wherever you are. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. I pray that you use these words. I pray that you protect people from coast to coast from the evil that is among us. And Father, we know what freedom was. And Father, Baptists have always stood for the freedom of religion all throughout the land. But you have standards for all of us. The standards have not changed, nor will they, we know. Father, protect us from the things around us that will tempt us and that might take our lives. Father, we send this message out and we thank you for our Savior that gave his life for us.